such great turnout. We're glad to be here in the Ravenna neighborhood and Roosevelt neighborhood nearby to talk about the Roosevelt Station design progress tonight. My name is Ron Illich. I'm the Northlink Deputy Project Director, and we have information that we'd like to share with you, give you an overview of the Northlink project and the Roosevelt Station, talk a little bit about some of the construction work that we're planning, but the main focus tonight is to talk about the design of the station itself. We'd like to hear your questions and comments about the design and anything else related to the project, and so we'll have time for question and answers after we get through our presentation. And then after we break from this format, we'll be here until 8:30 to answer further questions you might have. We have information along the back, if you're just arriving, that we can show you some of the details and more closer up after we're done with our presentation here. Let me do a few introductions and then we'll get started. I wanted to introduce some of the staff that are going to help answer questions tonight, perhaps. Don Davis, who is our project director. Can you raise your hand? There's Don. Next to Don is Bob Nichols, who is the architectural design manager. Kent Milton is our real estate lead. Salah Al-Tamini is our civil engineering manager for the project. Our outreach staff include Ellen Blair and Wilbert Santos over here. I will introduce Kristen Hoffman, who is the Roosevelt project manager, in just a moment, and then David Hewitt, who is the architect for our station. Before we get started, though, I wanted to say a little bit about the history of where the station has ended up in the Roosevelt neighborhood. We've had a long relationship with this part of North Seattle as we've looked at multiple alignments over the years. We were looking at an alignment along I-5 that would have had an elevated station at 65th, a tunnel portal coming out of the ground at Ravenna. That was one option, and then there was also an option that had the station located directly in the business district at the current site along 12th Avenue and 65th. There was a lot of debate about those two options. There were trade-offs between the two. The underground station in Roosevelt was more expensive, but was also going to be more disruptive to build in this neighborhood. But after lots of meetings and discussions, the Sound Transit Board in early 2005 were persuaded by the Roosevelt neighborhood to build the station in the heart of the business district rather than on the western edge along I-5. And we have not been able to do more work since 2006 until voters approved funding for this project in 2008. But I think we have a long partnership with the Roosevelt neighborhood, and we're going to need to beg your patience and endurance through some of the construction issues, but we hope to get good feedback tonight on both design questions, and we'll be back to talk in more detail about construction as the project proceeds. But let me turn it over to Kristen now to talk a little bit more about the project as we're going forward.
Thanks, Ron. Hi, welcome to tonight. So first I'll just give a quick overview of the Link Light Rail system in general. Then I'll focus in on Northlink, which is a segment of the overall system. And then I'll get to why all of you are here tonight, the actual station at Roosevelt. So the Link Light Rail system, currently we have 16 miles of track that are in operation. There's 13 stations that serve those 16 miles. University Link, which you may be aware of, is under construction right now. It extends the light rail from Westlake Center in downtown Seattle through Capitol Hill. The station there is going to be at Broadway and John, and then it will continue to Husky Stadium. That's scheduled to open in 2016. As Ron mentioned, in 2008, the voters of the region approved the ST2 plan, which extends light rail east to Overlake, south to Federal Way, and north to Linwood. And when the whole system is built, there should be 54 miles of rail in operation. So North Link is a segment of the overall light rail system. It's 4.3 miles, predominantly underground, and there's three stations that are part of this segment. The Brooklyn Station, which is located at 43rd and Brooklyn in the University District. The Roosevelt Station, of course, which is at 12th and 65th. And then the North Gate Station, which is to the west of the North Gate Transit Center and on the east side of I-5. The segment is scheduled to be completed in late 2020, early 2021. And by 2030, it's estimated that 62,000 people a day will board from the addition of this segment. So now the Roosevelt Station. So just to orient you, just in case you're not familiar with where we've aligned the station. I'm sorry if I get in the way. I-5 runs along this edge. This is 65th. North is up. This is 12th. This is Roosevelt. And of course, this is Roosevelt High. There's two entrances to this station. The south entrance is this darker orange box, which is located at 65th and 12th. And the north entrance, which is at 67th and 12th. This lighter orange box is the actual station box. And then the yellow area that you see, that's the land that Sound Transit either owns or will be acquiring. That's the land we need to actually build the station. The dark blue line that you see running through here, that's the station alignment. So this station, as I said, it's underground. It's 70 to 90 feet below grade. The reason for that delta is there's quite an elevation change between 65th and 67th. At both of the entrances, there's elevators, escalators, and stairs, and we also have bike parking at both of the entrances. Of course, with this location, there's many advantages, but one of them is the great connections to the buses. There's buses that run on 12th, 65th, and also Roosevelt. And our daily boarding projections for 2030 from the station is about 8,000 people. This slide is just showing the property, again, that Sound Transit needs to build this station. So North is still up. This is Roosevelt High, 12th. 65th is down here. This is Roosevelt. This parcel is north of 67th at the corner 67th and 12th. It's a vacant parcel. This, of course, is the QFC site. There's four townhomes that we own that are south of 66th. This is Standard Radio off of 65th. And then these buildings along 12th we also need to acquire. Sound Transit has a fairly extensive sustainability program. And one of the unique things that we're doing at the Roosevelt Station is we're trying to relocate the four townhouse buildings. So we've hired Nickel Brothers as to market the townhome buildings for sale, and hopefully a buyer or buyers are found, and they will then relocate the building. So we'll save them from the landfill, which we're pretty excited about. If buyers aren't located by the time we need to start demolition, then the buildings will be salvaged. By that I mean that Sound Transit will bring in salvagers to do high-end recycling. It's essentially taking the doors, the windows, light fixtures, any large wood beams or wood flooring, anything that can be reused, they will be taking those out of the building. And then our contractor, our demolition contractor, he will have requirements for recycling. So it's a tiered approach to sustainability and to recycling. So as far as the construction site, again, we are in 30% design, so since we haven't fully designed the building, it's we don't know 100% how we're going to construct it. Of course, we're working on that as we design it. But tonight, we wanted to let you know some of the construction that we are aware of. back to give you more information as the design continues, as we know how we're going to construct it and then how we're going to mitigate for that construction. But what we can say tonight is that, again, this orange box again shows the site that we need to construct. The darker blue line around it indicates the construction wall that will be going up around the site. We will need to close off a portion of this part of 66th and 67th while we do the construction. We are leaving access for the residents of Dwell and the residents that live north of 67th to access their parking garages and whatnot. These two streets will be fully opened at the These two streets will be open at the completion of construction, but they will be closed for quite some years while we do construction. We're working with SDOT to confirm the truck haul routes. At this point, what we can tell you is the trucks will come off of I-5. They will come south down Roosevelt, move through the site, leave the site on 12, head north back to I-5. So again, as we get more as we further the design, we'll have more information about construction and how to mitigate for that construction. This is anticipated, this will be a very heavy construction site. Not only do we have to excavate for the station itself and build the box, but this also is where we are launching the tunnel boring machines that will head south to Husky Stadium. So it's called the mucking operation. This is where all the spoils from those tunneling operations will come out. So it will be a heavy construction site. We will do our best to mitigate those impacts to people in this neighborhood. These photos actually are from Capitol Hill, a site that's somewhat similar in size and kind of density of neighborhood to the Roosevelt site. So if you haven't checked out that site, if you want to know what a construction site looks like in the middle of a neighborhood, that would be a good site to go to. These pictures just show some of the construction activities and some of the things we do, like potential sidewalk closures and driving lane alterations. This photo shows the construction wall that I was talking about. The height depends on what use is next to it and what activity is going on inside on the other side of the wall. We will have construction gates at the entrances. So this is just trying to give you an idea of some of the things that do happen on a construction site. And with that, I'll turn it over to David, and he'll give you all the details on the actual design itself.
Good evening. Pleasure to see you. I have a tendency to let this go down like that, so when you can't hear me, holler at me, please, so I can improve my projection. And I have to get used to the technology here. There we go. Okay. I think the direction has changed here a bit. What we're looking at is north to the right. So that's this way. So this is 65th, 66th, 67th, 12th, and Roosevelt. As you know, that's a one-way couplet. You're all familiar with that. Kirsten already talked about the bus transit connections. There's bus stops along 65th, and Roosevelt, and 12. So it serves well with connections. The gold stars that you see are the south entrance and the north entrance. And the light blue is the box underneath both of those. This is a view of idea of the station. Now, I want to say that we're at 30%. There's many decisions ahead. So what we're showing you is basically a diagrammatic plan that suggests where the parts go, how the general configuration is working, and some notion of light and space within the station. And what you're seeing here is looking west on 66th and 65th, 67th. We're showing you that to help you visualize how this works, because it's not an easy thing to understand. And each the box of the station, which is about roughly 70 feet square, about 400 feet long, that's the box that holds the station, is below grade. We have an entrance off of 65th adjacent to the transit connections. There is a large open space that's covered, and it's got windows glazing for the weather protection. So that's how you get in, and you go down underneath from the south entry. The north entry is very similar. You enter, the escalators take you down to the mezzanine platform below. I will explain in detail what all of this is, what's included in the space that you see, and what is in the space that you don't see. So remember that, okay, remember that photograph, because now we're looking, that view was this direction, okay? So that you, now is that better? I'm sorry, okay. Let's go to 65th. The yellow portion is the actual entry of this particular location. The gray area is a large covered porch, so that you come in undercover from the sidewalk outside, and you enter into the station at this point. There's a bicycle rack adjacent. You can go to the ticketing or in the elevator directly to the platform. And the idea, that's in other words, there's no transfer to the elevator at either end of this station. You can get in the elevator here and go directly to the platform, which is a real convenience. Everything in brown and light blue is support spaces that are required to make the station work. That's in both cases. There's an enormous amount of fans and electrical gear, switch rooms, and so on that have to be here, so that the back of house is equal or larger than the actual station entries that you experience. So it's like a theater, you know, you see the stage, but everything that's behind there is bigger than the stage. It's very similar to that. At this point, if we come in on our sequence from 65th, there is our two escalators and a stair combined that head down to the platform. We're suggesting that this is turned away, the form of the building is turned away from the sidewalk to allow for some generous landscape development, which I'll talk about in a moment. If we go then, on 67th, these two kind of amber colored areas are a short-term, three-minute parking for people to drop folks off. Adjacent to that is a bicycle storage area. Now we have three kinds of bicycle storage at this station. We have bicycle racks at the entry to the station. We have a bicycle lockers that are covered under a roof with a skylight over in this location. And then we have also what is called a bicycle sanctuary, which is actually a room that is secured where cyclists can leave their bikes locked up in a rack, and there are lockers there, and then they can go on their way. So there's three levels of accommodation for bicycles. If we come back up now, please, to 67th, a very similar idea here. The yellow suggests the entry into the station itself. The gray is a large covered porch. The ticketing is immediately to your right in this case. You move on to the elevator in this location, or you head down the escalators and the stair in this location. Now here too, we've turned this away, and so that forms an opportunity for some landscape development and open space that's complementary, in our opinion, to the station. Barbara Swift is here, the landscape architect, and she will be happy to talk to you in detail about the species of the landscaping plan, but in general, she briefed me so I could speak to the big parts. There are large-scale trees along 12th, along with some drainage swales, which take care of some of the stormwater treatment, and also you may know that the city now has a code, they have code requirements for runoff and other green factor elements within any building, and this is part of that. So in order to qualify for our green factor for the code, we need to have a certain amount of landscape area. Nonetheless, we think it's a good idea anyway. So we have tall trees along 12th. We have smaller scale deciduous, these are all deciduous, trees along the entry to the stations that mark the entry, but they're not so high that you can't see the entry. So identity is there, but the softening element, softening and wayfinding qualities of the trees do appear. Then as we come back and address this area, this becomes a place for ground cover, a softness on the corner, and that we have glass along all of these edges. We are very interested in using natural daylight whenever we can for the operation of the station, so that at this location you'll be able, you can see through the station and see these this trees at the end, which we think will be a wonderful twitch, as it's called, as the seasons progress. I might also say one other detail, and I don't want it too complicated, but this line you see in both entries is really a window in the ceiling, like a clerestory it's called. Clerestory lets in natural light so that the ticket areas are also bathed in natural light with a renewed kind of intensity because they're farther away from the glass. And we do have these large overhangings which will protect people from the rain. And in this case, again, let me go back. Here, all of this space is required for the functioning of this particular end of the station. We have an access on this side. We have a screened access way for vehicles to service the mechanical equipment. And in this case, we would use the bike covering temporarily while we change filters and other matter in the equipment for the station. Now, please try to remember this idea here where we've got the south entry and the north entry, because we're going to go to a drawing that's a little more complicated. And this is a cross section. And a section is like if you were able to cut a building in half with a giant saw and look at it. So it gives you a view of all of the interior spaces, but you only see half of them because you only have some on the other side. So here we are at 65th, 66th, and 67th. And we have about a 20-foot incline that we're dealing with. So from the north, the escalators and stairs are longer than they are from the south. So that's why you see the drawing look this way. The area in brown or tan, that's all of the back of house spaces that we need for the safety and operation of the station. You enter, here remember the porch, you come in, there's the ticketing, the elevator's right there, and you come down stair escalators to a mezzanine. And right here is that window I talked about that lets in natural light. And right there is a clerestory over that lets in light to the ticketing. If we go to the north end, again you enter, a clerestory above, and come down the escalator stair to a mezzanine. And those of you familiar with downtown, that's where, like, the mezzanine at Westlake is where you get the Nordstrom's and all that. That's what a mezzanine is. Okay. Then you go from that level down to the platform. The platform, of course, is where you catch the train. We split the stair off now, so the stair has its own configuration. I won't go into that in detail, but nonetheless, that allows the stair to be freestanding and kind of a feature, and maybe encourage people to use the stair a bit more than if it's incorporated into the escalators. So so that you can see how the two entries relate to each other. Now, the plans are, I won't deal with, you actually pass through a sub-basement, and you come down to the mezzanine level here, so you land from up above onto this level, and then down these escalators to the platform, and that's where it really all happens. There are the trains along the edge. Here is where you land from the escalator from the mezzanine at the north and the south, the stairs from the toward the north and toward the south, and then the elevators at each end. So you have a variety of means of getting to the surface. And we have intentionally organized these in a way where they're all open to view at once. They're not lined up, so one blocks the view of the other. You have a chance here to kind of have a view of all of these kinds of ways to get to the surface and back down. The circles you see are actually structure that holds up the mezzanine and this landing above. So if we go now to a sketch, and this is a sketch, it looks too finished, but it's a really sketch, of the south entry, the large porch, the bicycle storage, a very nice big window that allows light into the operation. Here we have the clear story over, and then our wall tilts back at this point, and we're entertaining a different kind of a glass at that level so that your experience of going from grade down below the surface and or coming back up out of the surface is modulated by the kind of light that's emitted in through the glazing. And we think that can be quite nice. Please, those of you who are from the community and looking at this, don't be alarmed by this. This is a bent stack. We are going to coordinate its location and scale with the apartment building adjacent, so that we're not going to be blocking any views. This is simply a diagram to show it's going to be here, but it will certainly not let us do that. So we go back in. This is the north entry, and you can see the topography in the sketch and get a sense of that 20 feet. It's hard to actually, many times I've been there, realize it's that much. These gray areas, again, are fans and other necessities that come up out of the station that we will be dealing with here in terms of their massing, color, and how it relates to the other parts of the station. So back again to the first view. I hope it makes more sense now. Where we are looking at 65th, the porch, big glazed, a wonderful entry space with light from overhead, a muted glass wall that allows light to be translucent, come down into the escalators and actually down into the space, so you get a sense of natural light, even though you're below grade. Then we reverse that path up to the north, and so on. So there's the landscape development, the low ground cover, the nicely scaled trees along 12th, and the wayfinding, the identity, smaller trees along 65th, 66, and 67th. Okay, we'll have questions there. I think I'll guard it. We have.
Hello, my name is Barbara Lukey, and I manage the art program for Sound Transit. Sound Transit established a Percent for Art program at the beginning of its life to help create a sense of place whenever a new facility is built and to evolve the work and thinking of artists in all these projects. We're just at the ground floor of issuing what's called an RFQ for an artist, and which will probably be multiple artists to join the station design. And we'll be working very closely with the Hewitt Architecture team and the rest of the project to make sure that the artist that is selected will have work that's integrated in a meaningful way in some aspect of the project. So with that hiring process, if you know of any artists, I would encourage them to go to soundtransit.com/START to sign up for notifications about how to apply and to be notified when the RFQ is issued, which is going to be very soon. We're also looking for some community representative panelists to serve on the selection process for the station artists. We use a balance of artists and design professionals along with community representatives to pick the artists for the stations for each community so that we're striving to not only create a unique sense of place, but we're trying to capture the character and what's important to the particular neighborhood. Jim O'Halloran of the RNA is going to be issuing some news through the RUSI about seeking community representatives who might be interested in serving on that. And we'll be updating you as the artist is selected, and then developing concepts will be coming out to all the open houses that follow from here. What you're seeing is some examples of art that's included in the station design so far. That's up at Beacon Hill, the portals underneath at the Deep Station. We found that it often makes people feel more relaxed and comfortable to be at these stations. And we'll also be developing a temporary art program for this construction site, just as we're doing at Capitol Hill. We found that it helps mitigate some of the huge impact. It doesn't change up everything, but we try to be good neighbors during the construction process and very sensitive to the progress that we're bringing and how challenging that can be in the process sometimes. And I'll hand it back to Rod.
Thank you. I just wanted to highlight a few more things. We have just three more slides before we'll turn it over to questions. I'm guessing there may be a few questions here tonight. This is the overall schedule for the Roosevelt Station. We also have the schedule in the back. I won't go through all the detail on here, but I wanted to point out a couple things to give you a general time frame of some of the upcoming decisions and progress for the Roosevelt Station. We are in the final design phase for the project. Our meeting tonight is the first yellow star up here, our 30% design. We expect to be back in early next year to talk about the 60% design, and then by the end of next year, we'll be at 90% design completion, where all the detail of the design will be in front of you to review. So that's on the design side. We also need to demolish some buildings in order to construct a station at this site. We expect that we're going to be awarding that demolition contract next spring and hope to have that work begin by May of next year. It's a fairly short contract, but it will include the demolition of the buildings still remaining on the site. The next long schedule on a bar on the schedule is the actual excavation of the station itself, including the tunneling work that would follow. That contract would be awarded in early 2013. It will go on for several years. We have to first excavate the station here at Roosevelt and also the Brooklyn station, and then launch the tunneling machines about 15 months later to tunnel from this from the Roosevelt station down to the UW station near Husky Stadium. So that is an extended contract. In addition to tunneling south from this location, we will also be tunneling from the portal along I-5 around 85th, and we'll be launching one tunneling machine south towards Roosevelt. That contract will start about a year after the first tunneling contract so that we can bring the tunnel boring machine to Roosevelt. It will be disassembled, trekked back up to the portal, and launched a second time, similar to what we'll be doing up on Capitol Hill to downtown. So that's what this schedule bar represents. We then need to finish the construction of the station itself, and then there will be a number of system installation and testing work that is done before the light rail extension to this neighborhood is completed in late 2020 or early 2021. So that's our overall schedule. Another issue that may be of some interest to folks is what is going to happen to the, once our station construction is completed, what is going to happen to that other property that would be available for redevelopment. We don't have a lot of specific plans yet, but I wanted to identify what we think the future TOD sites, as we call them, transit-oriented development sites, The western three quarters of the QOC block will be available for redevelopment, along with a parcel north of 67. We have not begun a detailed TOD plan. This land won't be available for redevelopment for another 9 years or so. So we have a little bit of time to sort out some of these issues, but we expect that this, with the existing height of 65 feet, will generate a number of mixed use and housing opportunities on this site. This is a much smaller site, but we would look to have that redeveloped. And finally, some of the next steps. We are working to try to set the final tunnel route and alignments to make sure we know exactly what depth and location the tunnel routes are going to be. By this fall, we hope to set the tunnel route from the Roosevelt Station south. And from the Roosevelt Station north, we will have that information completed by next spring. We will need to negotiate tunnel easements with every property owner that we propose to tunnel under. So we have a process in order to do that, but we have to set the alignments first. So by this fall, we'll know the first batch of tunnel easements. We plan to be back in the Roosevelt neighborhood this fall to talk about construction issues. We'll have more detail about how we expect to sequence the construction, what you might expect, and how we might mitigate some of the construction impacts. So be looking for a meeting this fall to talk about construction. And then, as I mentioned earlier, early next year, we'll have our 60% station design. And with that, we are here to answer any questions or receive any comments.